Have you read or heard the news lately? Well, most of it is bad news, likely to leave you depressed rather than inspired. That's what you get these days on the evening news and other news media. The good news is that there is an alternative. Dr. William Porter has provided wholesome yet compelling stories about people's experiences that many consider unusual, extraordinary, or even miraculous. Dr. Porter is an author who has chronicled stories like these in several books he has written. These stories have come to life on the Storytelling Time radio broadcast. So be prepared to hear some good news for a change. Here is Dr. Porter with today's story.
Good morning. Welcome to Storytelling Time. My name is William Porter. Let's get right into today's story. The title of our story today is Trouble in Paradise. So, John and Maggie were going to Hawaii. John had been preparing for the trip over the past several days. They would fly out of Chicago on a Thursday afternoon and return the following Monday. Best of all, they would go through Las Vegas, which was the reason why John selected a Thursday departure in the first place. In making their reservation, he got a better flight itinerary from Chicago than he would have if they flew out of his home city of Detroit. Anyway, both John and Maggie were excited about the trip. Maggie did have some concerns about running into Fred during their stay on the islands. Upon leaving Chicago, they would arrive in Vegas, stay overnight at the Vertigo Hotel and Casino for a night of fun, then continue to their destination, Hawaii, the next day on Friday. His conference would not start until Saturday at noon. John had always wanted to go to Vegas, where he would have the opportunity to gamble. Yes, you heard it right. He was the gambling preacher. After a restful night, they left Vegas early Friday morning and arrived in Hawaii just prior to sundown that day. After landing, John and Maggie got their luggage from claims and took a shuttle to the Village Hotel, the very hotel that Fred had come to earlier when he first got to the islands. And like Fred had been before them, John and Maggie were amazed at the outdoor lounge decor, with the reception area receiving guests off to the side. By the time they arrived there, it was twilight, and the scattered lighting amidst all of the greenery provided an ambiance of intimacy. As they stood in line to get the keys to their room, Maggie glanced behind her and saw the great expanse of the Pacific Ocean and the crystal white sands of Waikiki Beach in the foreground. Resisting the temptation of staying longer in the lounge, they checked into their rooms. But both John and Maggie would return to the lounge and wander around the hotel property, observing what looked to be several man-made waterways and small ponds surrounded by many flowers and an assortment of plants. Small ducks and flamingos could be seen floating and swimming around on the waters, and birds of all types could be heard chirping in the trees. At that moment, Maggie wanted Fred to be with them. Well, what she really wanted was for him to be alone with her. Yes, the feeling of want, of her wanting to be with him, would not go away. We'll be back in a minute.
Do you want to read some good news for a change? With all the things going on in the world today, it's refreshing to find good news. Well, Dr. William Porter has written three books that include a bit of intrigue, drama, and yes, a little romance, among other things in the storyline. So if you like biblically based, spiritually focused stories, do yourself a favor and read some inspiring accounts of people's experiences that may be considered extraordinary and in some cases even miraculous. Dr. Porter has written three books based on real life experiences, some of which are his own, and others have been communicated to him from those who have agreed to share their stories. Life in the Spirit was his first book, which is a nonfiction collection of short stories documenting people's experiences that they believe to be unique, unusual, and what Dr. Porter calls extraordinary. Heaven Can't Wait is his second book, which is a fictional novel. A third book is another non-fictional account of a collection of short stories that is titled Miracles in the Lives of Ordinary People. For more information, visit the website williamporterlife.com. He also can be contacted at the email address waporter4995@yahoo.com. So do yourself a favor and read some good news for a change.
Welcome back. After Maggie and John had settled into their place of lodging, John took the opportunity to venture back downstairs and play the slot machines. As Maggie remained in the room, she saw it was an opportunity to contact Fred. So, she decided to give him a call. At least hearing his voice would satisfy part of her craving for his presence, she felt. As she was dialing his number, her conscience spoke to her within. "What are you doing? You're married." But another voice seemed to say, "Where are you, John, when I really need you?" Hoping for a legitimate reason to continue with her intended action, she halted between two decisions. Should she or should she not move forward to call the man of her dreams? Maggie's fingers seemed not to care about the debate going on in her mind, and proceeded to act as a magnet as her hand clung to the phone as she began to dial Fred's number. A ringtone vibrated in her ears.
"Come on, come on. Why don't he answer? Oh, I'm so nervous."
Then she heard that voice, a voice that she had not heard in such a long time.
"Hello? Who am I speaking with?"
It's me, Fred, Maggie. How are you doing?"
"Maggie? I can't believe it's you. I've been thinking of you a lot, Mag, and I am so glad that you called."
With those words, Maggie felt so much more at ease, regaining her composure, knowing now that Fred was still, at least, thought of her in that special way. They continued to talk to one another for a while. Fred seemed so surprised to be speaking with her, and he too took advantage of being with her, not knowing that now she also was physically close to him in the same city.
"I haven't heard from you in such a long time, and I've missed you so very much."
"But you know that I'm married now, Fred, and my life has changed a lot. I'm here in Hawaii at the moment on a vacation of sorts with my husband, John."
"What? I can't believe you're here in the islands. What you know? You're here in Hawaii."
"Yeah, Fred, I'm here. I can hardly believe it myself. Talking to you, wow! And I've missed you, Fred, over these past few months. I'm just now getting used to married life."
"Yeah, I was really disappointed when I heard that you were married. But even before that, when you called to tell me that you were engaged, Mag, I had a hard time accepting that. But you know what? I still was mainly concerned about your happiness. And if you are happy, then I'm happy. Happy for you."
"Oh, Fred, that's so sweet of you to say that."
"Listen, Mag, I don't know when you're leaving, but you just can't get away without me seeing you. If only for a little while. Oh, my. I've got to cool down, Mag. I forgot your husband is here. Well, where is he?"
"Oh, he's gone to a meeting and won't be back until late. I would love to see you too, Fred."
"Well, where are you staying?"
"I'm staying at the Village Hotel."
"I'm staying at the Village Hotel?" Maggie gave Fred that information in the singular, as though she was there alone, without her husband. She was just caught up in the moment as Fred continued talking to her.
"Oh my, that's where I stayed when I first arrived in Hawaii. Listen, I'd love for you to come over now. Your husband don't have to know. Oh my, what am I saying? I don't mean to lead you astray, Mag. I know you're married and all, but it would be nice to see you.
Okay, Fred, but I've had a long trip, and I plan to get some rest tonight. But I'll see you tomorrow at about 6. I've seen my husband's schedule, and that's when his group's evening festivities start. I'll just take a taxi and come over. Just give me directions and your address. But Fred, I have to make sure that I'm back before my husband returns.
So, that's what she did the next day. When John started to attend his conference, she would see him. Finally, she would go to his condo. We'll be back in a minute. Welcome back. As Maggie had finished talking with Fred, she tried to sort out her feelings. Her feelings of her husband, John, as well as her renewed feelings for the man she felt that she really wanted to be with, that being her longtime friend, Fred. Just as her husband had done almost an hour earlier, Maggie decided to venture downstairs to go somewhere to relax, and most importantly, to sort out her feelings for the two men in her life. So Maggie did just that. As she left her room, she walked past the open area where she imagined John would be, playing the slot machines. He was somewhere amidst all the haze in the air created from smokers and the chatter of the crowd, including voices of those trying to win a jackpot. Maggie stayed in this area only for a little while, all the time looking around thinking that she might get a glimpse of her husband, but she didn't see him. So she continued to walk around, going through the hotel lobby, and ended up in an area that was tucked away from all of the gambling and clatter of slot machines. Having no interest in all that, Maggie found an area of the hotel that provided a convenient recluse for those few who wanted to be away from the crowd, away from where most of the patrons were gathered. After all, that's what people come to the casino for, right? To gamble, drink, and have a good time on the slot machines or on the poker tables. Maggie was different from husband John, who by now was transfixed on a slot machine, no doubt. But Maggie found a lounge that provided her a degree of escape from all the haze, the gambling, the crowd. It turned out to be a relatively small room with dim, colored floodlights that engulfed a miniature stage, which was just beyond an area of several cloth-covered tables, where a small lit candle was positioned on each, for patrons to just sit and enjoy the ambiance provided. The area seemed more appropriate for formal dining, but at this late hour, it had been transformed into a venue of casual lounging where only beverages could be purchased. It was especially designed for those more interested in a casual, intimate atmosphere of soft music and reflection. So there Maggie was, sitting there along with other patrons waiting to be entertained by female vocalists as advertised. A small band had already gathered on stage, whose members had taken their places and were in the process of playing a selection. After a while, a tall, slender figure, who appeared to be of Jamaican descent, took the microphone and, with the band assisting, serenaded the small crowd assembled. With moans emanating from her spirit. Then she began to sing a song that seemed to identify the prospect of Maggie losing touch with her husband John, amidst her wanting to see an old friend, an old flame, in fact, that would be Fred.
Your eyes are distant, shining in the light.
With the singer's next selection, Maggie anguished about the lyrics of the song. Did they apply to John or to Fred?
I ain't got much to give, and don't know what I'll get. If you love me, we can make it, baby. I know we can. Yes, I know things have been rough. Sometimes the going's been rough. All I know is if you stay with me, we can make it. Oh, yes, we can. Oh, someday I'll give you all the things you deserve. You have my bread turn your head, 'cause love without true love, a soul might as well be dead. Sugar, 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 sugar. Baby, I know we can. rely on me. We can make it, baby. Just rely on me. We can make it.
After those selections, the singer took a break and left the stage and went into a separate room nearby. Meanwhile, the band continued to play softly. Maggie just sat there, thinking about the two men in her life, all the while sipping on a margarita that was recommended by her waiter. Maggie soon decided to leave the lounge and return to her room to wait for her husband. When she got there, she laid across the bed on her back, staring at the ceiling, reflecting on the songs she heard. She would replay them over and over in her mind, especially that last song that she heard, and thinking about the love of her life. Well, I guess you know who that would be. My, we're out of time, and we'll have to go now. But stay tuned. We'll have part two of this story next week. The announcer will now give you some valuable information about the show. And remember, there's always more good things coming your way.
Storytelling Time comes to you every week with exciting inspirational stories about people's experiences that are unusual, extraordinary, and sometimes miraculous. Why not join the fun? Yes, we can all add an extra dimension to our lives by reading about what others are going through. You'll be surprised to learn that their experiences are similar to some of your own. Today's story only includes portions of Dr. Porter's book, Heaven Can't Wait. Other details of the story could not be shared today because of the limitation of time. Why not read the whole account of the story? Just go to the website, williamporterlife.com, to receive information on how to order this book, as well as other books written by Dr. Porter. Yes, there's always more. More good news to read. Life in the Spirit. Miracles in the Lives of Ordinary People. Heaven Can't Wait, the sequel.
I ain't got much to give, and don't know what I'll get. All I know is if you love me, we can make it, baby. I know we can. Yes, I know things have been rough. Sometimes the going's been rough. Stay with me. We can make it, baby. I know we can. We can make it. Oh, yes, we can. Turn your head, 'cause love without true love, a soul might as well be dead. Sugar, 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 sugar. Baby, I know we can't. Just rely on me. We can make it, baby. Just rely on me.